ACCA, the world's most forward-thinking professional accountancy body.
Hi, and welcome to this Student Accountant Podcast. Today, we're talking to recruitment consultants Karen Young and Gareth Cowan about what skills to cultivate to progress your career. Hello, Karen and Gareth.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi, everyone.
So to get us started, I was thinking maybe the two of you could give us a little intro about yourselves, how you got into recruitment and where you're working right now and what you're focusing on in your job. So maybe let's start with you, Karen.
Sure. Well, thank you very much for inviting me today. So I am a recruitment consultant by trade, my director at Hays, and I'm responsible for our accountancy and finance recruitment business. I started my career at Hays too long ago, over a quarter of a century ago. I'm giving a lot away there, but I joined as a graduate and it was my first proper job. And I joined and went through, you know, a great training program. I started from day one to become an expert in accountancy recruitment back in 1996. And that's what I've done for all of my career. So along the way, lots of different jobs. Often people say, Karen, how can you advise on moving jobs? Because you've stayed with the same organization. But Hays has changed an awful lot during that time. And, you know, I probably for a period of time, every couple of years, my job role would change either because someone approached me or I instigated it. And now over that period of time, I've therefore become quite well known for helping people with career planning, obviously your CV advice and interview techniques, but also obviously with employers to help them with their talent challenges. So currently I lead a team of accountancy and finance recruiters, which is just over 300 across the UK and Ireland. And I guess the other bit I'd mention is the part of my job that started 18 months ago, just to sort of highlight how the world of work is changing, because I know we're going to chat about that in a bit. But I was asked to pick up the development of our social and environmental purpose at Hays in the UK and Ireland. So I've got a lot more involved with sustainability, looking at social value. And certainly that's something I see on the agenda on a lot more jobs in all sorts of different professions. And maybe, again, we'll chat about that a little bit later too. So that's me.
Wow, fantastic. So it seems like you are definitely the right person to have on this podcast today. And the other right person is Gareth. So Gareth, let's hear about you.
Well, that might be up for debate, I think. We'll see. But no, my name's Gareth Cowan. I'm a co-founder of an accountancy and finance specialist called Trace. I started the business about 12 years ago. And prior to that, I've been in finance recruitment for probably 22 years or so. And I've specialised in accountancy for probably about 15 years, all in London. I've done some recruitment across Europe as well, but at the moment it's all in London. We have a team of 20 people. So Karen's sort of put me to shame in terms of a head count. Yeah, we do a very, very similar thing. Now, I fell into recruitment like a lot of people, I think, at my stage of career. I was a journalist initially. So I qualified as a journalist and I was in print journalism for a couple of years as a crime reporter for the Bristol Evening Post. I'm from the Southwest originally. And I just sort of fell out of love with it initially. And then I just stumbled into a recruitment agency in the High Street in Taunton in Somerset. And I did a few temp assignments for them. And then they offered me a role and the rest was history. And I moved from the Southwest, from Somerset to London when I was 22. With a bunch of friends. I went to London for a few years, but ended up staying for 20 odd years. And that's how I got into recruitment.
Wow. What's really, really intriguing is that I wanted to be a journalist. That was my that was my school career plan. And my, you know, I read English language and literature at university and wanted to be a journalist and ended up in recruitment. So there's a strange twist of fate in there.
Interesting.
Somewhere. Yeah.
That's I did English lang and lit as well. At the time, it's different now, but the barriers to sort of doing what you really wanted to do were hard, and the world was a lot smaller, and salaries, to be honest, a lot of people join in recruitment, I think, to increase their salary capacity. My salary as a journalist was really, really low and I couldn't afford to live where I was working.
Yeah.
So it was, but yeah. All good fun.
I think it's interesting because I thought with my English language and literature interest and aptitude that I needed to be a journalist, and then ultimately fell into recruitment as you did. But, you know, I used the skill set that I built up through my academic years, but who I am as a person as well, my kind of, you know, my core sort of skills that are inbuilt from earlier years than that. And I, like you, I feel I use those every day. It's just I would never have set out to be a recruitment consultant. And then a little bit around discussion today is those you don't know some of these jobs exist and how you might suit them and fit them. And that's where working with consultants like you, Gareth, and like me for the audience is really helpful, because we do see all the different job and person specifications. And then we meet you, the audience, and we kind of go, do you know what? This could be great for you because you're really good at this. And this is what we're looking for. So it's that kind of almost hidden job market, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really fascinating as well, from the perspective of you have a plan, and it's great to have a plan. In a way, you've got to have a plan in order for the plan to go in a different direction, but sometimes it does, right? You have a plan and then life happens, and then you end up falling into things that you didn't think or you didn't know existed. And so you never really know like how your skills are then going to manifest later on. But in terms of accountancy recruitment right now, what would you say are the main skills that accountants are needing at the moment to be really essential to organisations?
For me, I'm not sure whether things have changed hugely over the years in terms of the core skills that people need. And I think that that may remain in time. But for me, I think a real basic general understanding of principles of debits and credits and tax and VAT and all this sort of stuff, no matter what area of accounting you go into, I think is essential. You do actually, as years go by, you tend to meet people that don't have that sort of appreciation of the basics. You know, attention to detail is huge. And I think you'll probably agree with me, Karen. I think as time has gone by as well, the job of an accountant has changed from being that back office number cruncher type of person to somebody who's a lot more commercial, who needs to use their personality and their relationship building skills to essentially help lead a business. Because a lot of the time now, the people that are leading businesses are the accountants. It used to be that there were salespeople or ops people, but now if you look at the FTSE 100, for example, a lot of the people that lead those business were accountants. So it's not just technical experience in terms of adding things up and being accurate. It's also having a commercial outlook and a personality, because you need to be able to build relationships and influence people and all that sort of stuff.
Interesting. I do largely agree with you, Gareth. When I think about the sort of skills that employers were looking for, you know, in the late 90s, those core areas that you've already described, and your attention to detail, your core sort of financial literacy, being able to detail a debit and credit, you know, are still things that people look out for. And if you sit in front of any employer and say, what are you really looking for? Still, probably one of the first things I'll say is, well, they need to understand a debit and a credit. Yeah. And I do think that sometimes gets a little lost in all of the noise now around changing jobs and automation and things. So, you know, I would still, hand on heart, say, you know, get that bit right. But of course, accelerated by, you know, the global pandemic and changes that brought in terms of people being mobilized and working from home, and the whole level of automation and technology that's been on the rise, a few things, you know, I suppose are starting to change a little bit more, that, you know, digital literacy and data literacy has become even more important, hasn't it, over the years? Mm-hmm. And so I think that sort of change and shift because of that over time has an effect on skills. Because if you look at some of the functions like your real type technical roles of accounts payable, accounts receivable, compliance, internal audit, sort of, you know, control roles, as data and artificial intelligence and automation comes in, some of those will be automated. So certainly for me, communication's been there all the way through, but that sort of digital literacy, data literacy, ability to wade through the reams of data that that businesses collect these days has come much more to the fore. Would you agree?
Completely. Yeah, absolutely. And I think, I mean, there's the amount of information or the content online about automation is huge. I think they're trying to terrify people a little bit because our industry, Karen, is probably a good example where 15 years ago that people were saying that, you know, we're going to get replaced by certain you know, technologies, and that still hasn't happened, and I don't think it will. So I think the threat, if it is a threat, of automation in accountancy, I think, you know, you've got Deloitte and KPMG are sort of at loggerheads with how it might change things, but
You're right. I don't think it's a threat. It will just change the nature of the jobs. And it's going to mean that you do get more involved with a business, and that you can really think, gosh, you know, I'm really making a difference here. And, you know, the type of roles coming up in sort of financial planning and analysis and business partnering and strategy. I think it's, you've got to look at it as a positive thing and ability. One of the things I always say in a room or the audience here today around the world, I bet there's probably not even one person that can't say they're not involved in a project. You know, how many projects do we all have on the go now? Everyone's got a project or several projects. That's a skill set to be honing if you're just starting off and thinking about your studies or becoming an accountant or you're partway through or you're approaching qualification. Put your hand up to get involved in projects if you're not already, because they're not going to go away.
Yeah, so that's interesting. So maybe is it about doing voluntary work or getting involved in something outside of work to hone your strategic skill set, or getting involved in more things within work?
I think it could be all of those.
Yeah, because I think that one of the big challenges, I think, are visibility. All of my clients, you know, I work a lot in financial services, and I thought they would struggle with this, but most of my clients work a hybrid model. So you're either working at home part of the time. I think one of the things that anyone starting up, like you said, Karen, you have to put your hand up and take part and be present and all that sort of stuff, because it's very easy to sit at home and do your day job and not do anything else. But I think if you don't put your hand up and get involved in these projects and do secondments and do various other things, you're not visible unless you take part in these sorts of things. So I think it's a big challenge for people going into the workforce, because I mean, I've hired people in the last few years, and I'm sure you have, Karen, that have never worked in an environment that's not hybrid.
Yeah.
Not used to this, and maybe don't appreciate the fact that if you're not present and if you're not trying to join in and do extra things, your career might not move on as fast as other people.
Yeah, I think that's really interesting, because, you know, I do think digital literacy, data literacy bit is important, and how it's inevitably changing some of what we all do. And it does mean that employers need people who can understand and handle technology, because employers are looking at how productive we can all be. But also, as naturally, people can end up then competing with tech. But the fact that, Gareth, as you said, our jobs were kind of, oh, the robots are going to take over recruitment, we won't be needed. The human factor in accountancy, the human factor in recruitment is so valuable. So you're making sure that you really are honing, developing, brushing up on competencies, soft skills that only human beings can bring to the table, wherever you are in the world today listening to this, is absolutely essential. And I was talking to a part qualified accountant a number of weeks ago before Christmas, and in their situation, their role had gone to fully remote, 5 days a week, Monday to Friday, working from home. And the reason they were coming to the job market, conversely to other people that want to go and work from home, was, I need to get into a team, and I want to be a leader in finance, and I want to be able to watch someone lead a team of people, and I can watch that a bit on screen, but I want to be present in the mix of it for at least a couple of days a week, and I'm really missing that. And how will I develop those skills if I'm not watching and being part of someone else's leadership? And so that was quite an interesting conversation, because you kind of hear in the media, everyone wants to work from home. In our latest salary guide, you know, people said if they could choose the days and the amount of time they worked from home, that would make them potentially look at moving jobs. But ultimately, it can go too far the other way as well. And if the human factor is the X factor in what you can bring to a role and your communication skills and how you lead people over time, then a good mix of hybrid, personally, I feel is good for people's development, and particularly in a training element when you're still learning or you're taking on a new job. That's my personal view.
No, I agree.
Karen, you mentioned sustainability becoming a bigger part of your work, and I'm just curious to find out whether you or both of you feel that the increasing emergency of the climate crisis is, I mean, I'm sure it's changing business. I know it's changing things in terms of risk and so on, climate risk, but how is it then impacting the world of work in general and specifically recruitment?
I mean, I think the agenda is heightened, isn't it, because of obviously the focus on climate probably hitting larger businesses first because of responsibilities. If I'm honest, it's large businesses that have shareholders that ultimately probably start to look at this first, if everyone was really honest about it in terms of looking at environmental and social governance. But certainly with ACCA and some of the other accounting bodies, the view is very much that things, if you're going to get involved with sustainability, there's a need to report on data. And so I have seen quite a lot of the sustainability agenda coming through into finance teams because of the skill set of, you know, attention to detail, financial reporting, being good with data, being able to report to statutory and regulatory and obligations and requirements. And so I see it's quite exciting, actually, in terms of how it's coming more into the sort of finance fold, because we all care, don't we? Most people care. Certainly, we know younger generations than I deeply care. And so I think it's exciting to look at that as an expanding area of what could be your accountancy or finance role and the chance to really get involved with it. But it's present through most businesses now, I would say.
Yeah.
Yeah, I probably have less exposure to that side of it than you, Karen, by the sounds of things. I think it's on the sort of flip side, in terms of the investment that our country and most of other European and international countries are making in this sort of thing, there are huge opportunities for finance professionals in those industries as well, from operational companies to financial services and all that sort of stuff. And it's just a real growth area. And I think as sort of government targets start to increase, there are massive opportunities for accountants, analysts, this sort of thing. I'm not seeing it in the role of an accountant, if you like, but I'm seeing it in certain industries that becoming quite exciting. Well, it's been exciting for quite a long time, and lots of opportunities there, I think.
And I think people, you know, people, when they're now looking at employers, of course, they're looking to see how good an organization is at this type of thing. Think back to a time last year on an internal, you know, Steerco, and our company secretary at Hays PLC, you know, Doug Evans, he posed a question to said, is the world a better place because Hays is in it? And then he paused, just like I have. And he said, because if we don't think it is, then we need to do better. And I've spoken about that quite a bit at some conferences, and not intending that to be my headline. I've just sort of mentioned it in passing. And then in coffee breaks, people have come up and gone, I've just sat and thought, is the world a better place because my organization is in it? And I think it is, but I'm not sure. And certainly people are telling us that they're looking for that information when they're going to look at employers now as to, you know, what does that look and feel like? And does it feel like the place that they want to be and spend some time working for?
Well, it's great that we can have an opportunity as accountants to think about combining, you know, our passion for finance and our skills in that department with other passions and things that we care about. And that's obviously ultimately probably what we all want, isn't it, when we're working, is that it's integrated presentation of who we are and what we care about. So thinking ahead, are there changes that you see on the horizon in the sort of medium to long term, things that we could be preparing for now or maybe upskilling in advance?
There's always going to be, from a technical perspective, as we said a little bit earlier, that those core competencies, you know, keep those at the heart, that there's always going to be, you know, changes in new financial reporting standards, new FRS is coming in, etc. But, you know, if you've got that aptitude to be able to learn a new process and apply it, you're going to be able to navigate your way through that. For me, I still go sort of harder on the sort of competencies and the sort of in-demand skills for the next 10 years is where I spend some time thinking. And I think that there seem to be more problems out there, which is why we've all got so many projects on the go in business. There's a lot of change. So things like critical thinking, the communication skills, you know, flexibility, everything's changing and it seems to be in constant change. So employers, you know, really looking for that ability to cope with change and resilience, and people that show you don't have to have something on the sort of CV in terms of, you know, I did this and it's a bullet point under duties and responsibilities. This is just kind of who you are, being able to show that sort of natural curiosity and that you're prepared to continuously learn. And then the final one I would talk about would be creativity, which don't sort of start sweating at the other end, but, you know, it's not about creative accounting, but like I said, it's the ability to look at a problem and come up with a innovative or creative solution. I think that's a big one.
Karen, I agree with that massively. We work with mid-sized businesses and a lot of growth-based businesses. My background was a headhunter for banks initially, and very often the job of an accountant is to say no. You know, no, you can't do this, or no, you can't spend that, or no, those aren't the rules, you need to do it this way, which is all good. But what I found is that in the growth industries, especially technology and finance technology and all this sort of stuff, it's about, we're not doing that, but let's find a solution to how to do it.
Yes.
And no is not an option. Finding solutions to problems and following them through and solving them, I think is a good point and a big one. I think an accountant, not everybody wants to be a leader, and not everybody wants to manage teams. But at some point along the way, whether it is projects or supporting people, you're going to have to learn leadership skills, and you're going to have to learn how to manage people. And that's not just the organizational side, but it's also the emotional side. And so I think, you know, whether you want to be the next CFO or the next sort of head of audit somewhere, I think you need to think about leadership and the softer skills as well, because it's not just about technically being strong. It's about lots of other things as well.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. As you say, not everyone wants to go and lead a huge team of people, but in whatever job you do need to be able to persuade and influence, don't you? And win people around to your business case that you're presenting through the organisation. So I think that's an excellent point, Gareth.
I have one question, which is, if I was listening to this, I'd be thinking, well, could I contact either of you? How could I get you to be my recruitment consultant? Is it possible? Can people contact you directly if they want to get your expertise on their careers?
Sure, I speak for Karen as well. Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, our job is people. And I think we're really passionate about helping people as well. So for us, it's not just about finding a job for someone. It's sort of advising them and supporting them. So 100%. And I'm sure if we can't answer the question, there's someone in our organizations that can, or we could lead you to someone else that could help you. So 100%.
Absolutely. It goes on to another topic, which is a podcast in its own right, isn't it? Around, yes, find me on LinkedIn if you want to connect with me. Very happy to do so. If you typed in Karen Young Hayes just into the stream on LinkedIn, I'm sure I'd come up pretty quickly. But I think we've got, what, half a century of experience between us there or thereabouts. one of the things I have loved about my job and my career is keeping in touch with people. Mm-hmm. That's kind of one of the things, isn't it? If you're starting out, if you've been out there a while in the world of work, but I still advocate building your network and building your network with people who, if you reach out to ask for help, as Gareth just said, if we don't know or we're not the right person, we inevitably can put you in touch with someone that is. So absolutely, yes.
Fantastic. Any final words of wisdom, if you had to encapsulate it in one pithy sentence, as someone starting out right now?
One sentence, that's difficult for a recruiter. I would probably say, enjoy this. It's really easy to get caught up in the exam. You know, you've been to university and you studied for 3 or 4 years, and now you're studying for another 2 or 3 or 4 years to get through your qualifications. It's a lot of pressure and all that sort of stuff, but you've got to enjoy it. If you're not enjoying it, you maybe do something else, but don't let the pressure get to you. And when you do start to look for a role, I can't emphasize enough trying to find a company or a product or an industry that you're passionate about and that you can relate to. Yes, it's all about culture and fit and the people that are around you, but working in a business that sells a product that you can relate to or that you are passionate about, I think is huge. The job of an accountant is really exciting. It's much more exciting than I thought it was. You can have a really broad career. So this isn't one sentence, I'm really sorry, but enjoy it. And work hard.
Enjoy it was one sentence, and then brackets the other stuff that you said. I think it's good.
Mine would be curious. I think we've talked about it a little bit as we went. Be curious, ask questions, learn as much as you can, enjoy it, and don't be afraid to ask for help. It's human nature. If someone asks you for help, most people give it. So just ask questions, be curious.
That is fantastic advice. Thank you so much, both of you, for joining us on the podcast today. And thanks to everyone for listening.
Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Bye for now.
Bye-bye.
You can find more from Student Accountant wherever you normally listen to podcasts. Goodbye, and thank you for listening.
This podcast was brought to you by ACCA. Find out how we think ahead at accaglobal.com.